Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report. Welcome to Hagman. Today is the 13th day of October, 2021. It's Wednesday. And, we are a captured operation. America is a captured operation. I want to just, before I get into the show, I want to show you a video. This is, about a 61-year-old video. 61 years ago yesterday. This is just a minute video. It's in Japanese. It's a very poor video in terms of its quality. You gotta imagine 61 years, right? But I want to show this to you out of the gate. Otoya Yamaguchi took issue with Japan, potentially becoming a socialist state. Now, Gavin Newsom replayed this about a year ago, a couple of years ago, anyway, reenacted this. But to make a point, but I saw this on patriots.win on the forum, patriots.win, and I was just enthralled by this, because this is how 61 years ago the Japanese took care of business. Hey, I don't want a socialist or communist running Japan, or the potential to have a communist running the nation of Japan. Now, the radio audience, please go to HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, HagmanReport.com, and or Rumble. Well, you can get to everything by way of HagmanReport.com. We're on Brighton and Rumble. But take a look at this. And I'm going to end up play this really without commentary. It's in Japanese. And what this is, again, is Otoya Yamaguchi, 61 years ago, October 12th of 1960, decided that he was not going to allow his country, Japan, to descend into or to grow into a communist state. Watch this.
So yes. Is there subtitles?
No, you know what? There's no subtitles.
It's just in Japanese.
It's just in Japanese. Okay, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? All right? Seriously. I'll tell you what, why don't you just show the last, 20 seconds of it, right? I don't know, before the action. You've got the socialist, candidate for emperor, if you will, or for leader of Japan, the leader of the Japan Socialist Party, Injiro Asanuma, speaking. Okay. Now watch this. Here he is. Yeah, I will talk over this. Okay. And there is Otoya Yamaguchi taking care of business. Did you see that? Are you watching this? All right. Now I sent in a picture that's attached. This photograph was, as soon as this is done, this photograph was taken by a reporter in the front row. This picture won awards out the wazoo back in 1960. All right. Again, the guy that went down was the communist favorite. There you go. And there's Otoya Yamaguchi taking the garbage out in Japan. This photograph, if you can put that up, I don't know if you have that at the ready, and I know it's this iconic photograph. And again, you have to be, 150 years old to really appreciate this, right? Or not, but this photograph was taken, again, an award-winning photograph was taken by a reporter in the front row. And this probably solidifies or shows the determination. This is after Otoya pulled the sword, the samurai sword, out from this communist's gut. Now, Otoya Yamaguchi later committed suicide in prison, but he was very stoic about all of the things. And a comment is attributed to him, and I obviously can't verify this, but how does it feel? He was asked how it felt to kill someone, he's kill a person, a human being. He said, I don't know. I've only killed a communist. And again, that quote was attributed. I don't know if he said that or not. But the reason I showed this, and this is the only commentary I'm going to provide, is think about the last 61 years. And I'm going to put a period right there. Just think about the last 61 years. Again, you're listening to the Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network and across multiple platforms. I want to welcome you today. Please, folks, keep Russ Dizdar and his wife in your prayers. Russ is very, very sick. He and his wife are very, very sick, very ill. And just keep him in your prayers, please, for a speedy recovery. He was on the upswing, and then he took a turn for the worse, he and his wife, very, very, very extremely sick. And I'm extremely concerned and very, very appreciative of all your prayers for Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net, a very good friend, a friend of mine. And anything he needs, I'm publicly committed to providing whatever he needs, and as this platform is. All right. A little update on something you haven't seen because all the other headlines are just overshadowing it. Beto O'Rourke. This Beto O'Rourke took to the airwaves, let's see, 2 days ago, I believe it was, on the 11th. This is Beto O'Rourke talking about what he wants to do to or with the guns, with the Second Amendment, how he wants to destroy the Second Amendment of the United States. And again, the first clip I showed and this clip are related. And I'll tell you how they're related. Fear. Fear. Can we play the second clip? Go ahead.
This concealed carry deal where, or open carry, where you will no longer have to go through a meaningful background check or any kind of training or certification, which is a standard today in Texas. And which gives Texas an opportunity to lead the rest of the country, this proud gun owning state, on the responsibilities and obligations of gun ownership. We lose that pride of place. And what we do is we make this a much more dangerous state. Four of the worst mass shootings in United States history have taken place in Texas: Sutherland Springs, Santa Fe High School, Midland, Odessa, and of course, in 2019, El Paso, Texas. We should learn both from our proud history of responsible gun ownership and from this really unfortunate, tragic history of gun violence. We should know better than to do this. In addition, y además, law enforcement, by and large, is against this for good reason. We should be listening to them on this. Check out this statistic. I believe last year, 6,000 license to carry applications were denied for a number of reasons. Those 6,000 people who were denied the ability to do this, we found some reason they should not be able to carry a gun in public. If this becomes law, they will be carrying guns in public. So take whatever part of that you like or something else and reach out to your state legislator, your state senator, your state rep, and tell them how you feel. You'd be surprised how infrequently that happens and how meaningful it is once it does. And don't do the email. I'll tell you, they don't read the emails so much. Don't post something on Twitter. I don't know that they care. I mean, it doesn't hurt, but I don't know that it's going to move anybody. But pick up that phone, and even better, if you can make your way to the Capitol, they really pay attention.
Caught me off guard there. But you saw that, right? You heard his words. Look, they're coming after our weapons. This is just the next step in this Orwellian dystopian future that's America. America hasn't been America for quite some time. And this is just a policy or procedure based in fear. But it's not fear of, I mean, it's the gun owners are not afraid. It's the fear by the ruling class, by the elite. They are afraid, and they know what they are doing is going to cause people to rise up and say, no, we have to remake this government pursuant to the United States Constitution, our founding document. Here to discuss this and more, including things like, what are the container ships really doing out there in the East and West Coasts? You know, why aren't they being offloaded? All right, that's something. Why are there no new cars at dealerships, for example? Have you noticed this? And there are some 300 to 500,000 cars, waiting on chips, computer chips, semiconductors, if you will, some whatever, in the dealerships, 500,000 cars, at least in one area of the country. But with regard to the container ships, what are they doing out there? But now I want to bring Dr. Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, on. We're going to be discussing this before we bring him on. I want him to see this. This is a okay. So understand this. Let me get to this here on my cheat sheet over here. Jen Psaki, the spokes muppet for the Mr. Marbles regime, took to during a press conference, but you know, yesterday or the day before, was asked about the clot shot mandates. I'm going to say vaccine mandates as you know them, as people know them, but they're not really vaccines. Vaccines, the definition's been changed, was changed on September 1st of this year to accommodate the Mr. Marbles regime and Dr. Fauci, that mass murdering bastard, to accommodate him and all of the Chi-Com. The Chinese Communist and PLA and Anglo-American, you know, the Ralph Barracks and the Francis Collins, and to accommodate them, that's why the vaccination or vaccine definition was changed. And by the way, I want to publicly thank Rob, the man behind Wisconsin Christian News. Folks, if you're not subscribed to this, please subscribe to Wisconsin Christian News, okay? The print as well as the digital edition, and give him a little extra too. This is one of the last, and I mean this, one of the very last, truth-telling magazines or papers, newspapers on the planet. And we need to keep them running. We need to keep the presses running. WisconsinChristianNews.com, please give generously and support them and subscribe to them. All right. But I mentioned that because he sent me a copy of, I'm like Richard Proctor now, 1828 Dictionary. I love it. I really love it. It's like 50 pounds, but I love it. It's fantastic. It's in my office. But thank you, Rob, from Wisconsin Christian News. But again, the change of definitions is just absolutely incredible. So yesterday or the day before, Jen Psaki, again, the spokes muppet for Mr. Marbles, came out and said, was talking about the vax mandates, right? And how Governor Abbott of Texas had his own, saying, no, we're not going to abide by vax mandates. No, we're not going to do this. That was Abbott. Now, I have mixed feelings on that because I don't think Abbott is being genuine in that, because I think he did that as a very responsive maneuver toward the vaccine mandate by Biden, which, by the way, OSHA did submit to the Office of Management and Budget a draft of the ruling, or of the rule, I should say, that will be published after it goes through the grinder there, OMB, in the Federal Register. So people are saying, well, there's no, you know, they haven't come out with any kind of actual mandate yet. It was just a press release. Well, no. And I posted this as an alert on the Galileo alert system, galileo.com. In fact, it's in the program description box, ihavenreport.com, when it came out. In fact, I was alerted before it was submitted. And so it is coming, but in her... In this, what you're about to see, what she says is, we know that federal law overrides state law. First of all, there's so much wrong with that sentence, I don't even know where to start. Federal law? Where's the federal law? There is no federal law. State law? Where's the state law? There is no state law. Vaccine mandate? What is that? And if you really want to get technical, you got people saying, well, you know, Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution, Supremacy Clause, it establishes that the federal constitution and federal law generally takes precedence over state laws and even state constitutions. Yeah, okay. But there's an important part of that that's missing. Only if the law is law, number one, and number two, it comports with or is consistent with the U.S. Constitution. All other laws are null and void. But again, post-constitutional society in which we live, what the hell are we doing here? And again, go back to clip one. Just saying, 61 years. Let's play that clip from the Spokes Muppet. Little Chucky doll.
Going back to Texas. What is the president's message to businesses in Texas? You mentioned several of them who are based there.
No.
When it comes to what the federal guidance is now, and now with this state executive order, what would the president say to those companies as they're determining what they should be doing right now for their vaccine mandates?
Well, we know that federal law overrides state law. I would note that earlier when we put out our guidance on the president's announcement about mandates several weeks ago, it made clear that, again, as I said earlier, requirements are promulgated pursuant to federal law and supersede any contrary state or local law or ordinance. Additionally, nothing in this guidance excuses noncompliance with any applicable state law or municipal ordinance. We put out guidance several weeks ago conveying that clearly. But fundamentally, beyond the legal aspect, which is unquestionable in our view, the question for any business leader is, what do you want to do to save more lives in your companies?
All right. Again, that's the female counterpart to the little Chucky doll. Eric the Tech, do you remember Beverly Hillbillies at all? You know, the sitcom. Do you remember that?
Yep.
All right. Remember when they had Jethro and Jeth Reen? Okay, same person, obviously. Max Baer played both.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So all I'm saying is the Chucky doll and Jen Psaki. Same principle, different era. Yeah, again, you have to be a baby boomer in order to perhaps get that joke. But I said it, and there it is. So with commentary on this and other aspects of what's going on today is Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. He's riding with me today. And we're going to be talking about this and many other things. Folks, go to ProvisInstitute.com, link in the program description box at HagmanReport.com, and click on the link there. Get your copy of Saving the Constitution, because in that book it's got ways that we can fix this if we have the fortitude to do so, unless you want to go to clip one. Okay, just saying, it's a whole lot easier to follow the outline in Saving the Constitution. But, you know, we talk so much about constitutional issues, and I've never seen so many people so wrong about the Constitution than I have today. And that's why this book is so important to me, because I refer to it all the time. Because when this moron mentioned, and you can keep that up there for a moment, because when this moron mentioned on Twitter in response to Psaki, in response to the to confirm what Psaki said, this moron, in my view, a moron, I don't know that to be a fact, it's just my own personal opinion based on this writing, this response, because Town Hall was the issued that, okay, the video. And then this other guy says, you know, federal law overrides state law, with an ellipsis. Actually, one more period than necessary. And this individual writes, Article 6, Paragraph 2 of the U.S. Constitution is commonly referred to as the Supremacy Clause. It establishes that the federal constitution and federal law generally takes precedence over state laws and even state constitutions. Well, here's my problem. And maybe this is your problem too, folks. Here's my problem. Here, come here. Let me talk to you. So we have no law. There's no law passed. Show me a law that's passed by Congress. You know how, you remember school, how a law, how a bill becomes law? We don't have any of that. All we have are a bunch of barking orders by this junta, this communist junta that's occupying the Eisenhower, the executive office building, right? Not even the White House, the executive office building on a fake stage. So we have no laws. All we have is just this, you know, you're going to do this, period. And Governor Abbott, in response to this, in response to the vaccine mandate executive order or executive proclamation or utterance. I don't even know what the hell it is. Says, no, I'm going to issue an executive order of my own as governor saying there will be no vaccine mandate in businesses, period. Businesses cannot mandate a vaccine. Again, there's so much wrong with all of this language. It's hard to even find out where to start, but okay. So let's take that at its face. So you've got the Biden junta, Chucky spokesperson saying federal law overtakes superior to the state law, no law. And then Abbott saying, okay, we're going to make sure that, there's no vaccine mandate here. And then people quoting erroneously the Constitution, erroneous in terms of its complete meaning. But the very people who are imposing or for imposing vax mandates, think about this. And this is a clown world in which we live today. This is where logical and rational and sensible thinking gets tossed out the flipping window. You've got people on the left, the communist left, saying you need to, any business over 1,000 employees needs to have the clot shot. The employees need to have, and we're going to mandate that. So Governor Abbott says, no, we're not going to have vaccine mandates. Small businesses are not, or businesses are not going to, are not able to mandate vaccines. You follow me so far? You get that? Is that, Eric the Tech, is that easy to understand? I mean, so you got,
yes.
Okay, all right. I just want to be clear. But none of this, see, all this is kind of like in the ether. None of this is real. But then you have people on the left saying, hey, Abbott, you're interfering with businesses. You can't do that. Wait a minute. It's okay to, hang on, hold the phone a minute. The very people who are saying we need these clot shot mandates for businesses are complaining that Abbott is interfering in business. Did you follow me on that, Eric the Tech? I'm sorry to bother you. I know you're busy over there, but did that make, I mean, I don't want to, it didn't make sense, but did it make sense in a sense, in a way? I mean, you get what I'm saying though? The left is saying, well, you can't tell businesses what to do. Wait a second. Biden's already telling businesses what to do. Without the authority. Does this even make friggin' sense? What is wrong? Is this thing on? Is this working up here? With me to talk about this even further is the esteemed Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Sir, welcome. Help me out here. What's going on?
And you talk about the Constitution over and over again. You never ask me a question.
I'd be asking you now, what the hell's going on?
Well, what the hell's going on is our people do not know the Constitution. They do not know the Constitution. You know, you read this very thing that they're quoting. They're saying that the Constitution and the laws of the United States are supreme law of the land. No, that's not true. They are not. They are not the laws, that is. The laws must be in accordance to the Constitution to apply. It's the same thing that's happened in an article in the 14th Amendment. In the 14th Amendment, I'll read you a thing here in the 14th Amendment, what fun this will be. It says very clearly that everybody born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction there are citizens. Well, they drop off the and. They just say all persons born or naturalized are citizens. That's not true. That's not what it says. That's the same garbage that Schuman said we're going to impeach Trump so that he can't do this. Well, they can't impeach him if he's not in the office. You know, we have the dumbest people reading this Constitution that exists. They will not read all the words. They just read the ones they want to. I can't believe the stupidity here of our people accepting it. That's the key. I know the stupid people that are doing it for a purpose. They have an agenda. They want to destroy this country. They want this country under their thumb. The only way they can do it is if they say a lie over and over and over again. And the one they're saying over and over and over again, and you'll hear it all the time, federal law trump state law? No, it does not. Folks, federal law doesn't trump state law ever. Federal law must be in accordance with the Constitution to even be valid. But federal law still doesn't override state law because state law is supreme because of the 10th Amendment. Boy, we're going to go to all the stuff here. The 10th Amendment says very, very clearly the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution are reserved to the states. If the Constitution doesn't say you've got it, you haven't got it. Period. That's it. There's nothing more to say. I can't believe everybody, nobody reads this thing. I mean, I got it right here, right? I've got the book right here. I hope it's not backwards. I've got the book right here. Why doesn't anybody read it? And now I'm going to say another thing, folks. We don't have very many people with this book. And everybody's talking about what the Constitution says, but they don't know it. And the people that are listening to us don't have the book. If they don't have the book, then they don't know what it says either, except as they listen to snippets from me. Well, if you're listening to snippets from me, that's, let me see. I'm going to say it this way. I'm going to take this book and I'm going to say, the snippets from me will give you about this much of the book. Can you see how much I've got in my hand?
Yep.
Well, let me just tell you. I've got 12 pages. The snippets from me will give you about this much. This much you're missing.
There you go. And you're so okay. All right. At the root of everything we're seeing today, in my view, and this is a question, so hang with me. Are violations of our rights in the Constitution of the United States? Are they violations of our rights as citizens of the United States and in the Constitution? Everything that we're seeing.
Oh, yes. You're asking me a question.
Yes.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are violating the Constitution. You know, I've been going over the Bill of Rights in my podcast. So far, we only have about four that are being used. You know, they don't house citizens. They don't house soldiers in the citizens' homes. So
yet.
There's one.
Yet.
That's about it. That's in the Third Amendment. That's about it. You go to the Sixth and the Seventh. Almost all that's being violated by courts that are not common law or criminal or even law courts. They are admiralty law courts, which are written for the captain of a ship.
I want to be clear. We're not talking about sovereign citizen, John.
Absolutely not. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah, no, I just, because people hear that and they think, oh, he's just, no. Listen, folks, it's not that. Go ahead.
Yeah, admiralty law is a part of the Constitution. Oh, yes, it is. Right here in the Constitution, Article 3, admiralty law and maritime law. What it says here is, The judicial power, okay, shall extend to all cases in law, okay, and these are the cases, all cases of ambassadors, all cases of admiralty and maritime jurisdiction. And you get right down to it, the jurisdiction, the only court that has any jurisdiction in admiralty law, the only court with jurisdiction is the Supreme Court, and that's only because maritime law is on the water. There's never a valid admiralty law court in the United States. Never. Yet, every court that doesn't have a jury and isn't following common law is admiralty law. Every traffic court is illegal. It's not common law. Common law goes on to say, this has been thrown to the winds. Nobody remembers this at all. I'm going back to the Seventh Amendment now. Suits of common law, where the value exceeds $20. $20. Can you have any injury or any case that doesn't exceed $20? Yes, you can. A traffic violation never exceeds anything. I went through a traffic light. I went through a red, a stop sign. They stopped me. You went through a stop sign. Therefore, you violated the law. The law is not constitutional, guy, because the law says that you've got to have a $20 problem. There's no $20. Oh, one could happen if I'd hit somebody. That could happen. Yes. Oh, yes. I didn't. Since I didn't, there's no injury. There's no law. There's no law. The law must have $20 violation.
There's got to be an injury.
Proper law.
There's got to be an injury.
And then it has to be a common law, not a maritime or admiralty court. Go ahead.
No, I mean, so the injurious part of that is $20 or more injury, right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what it says in the Constitution, which I figured out the other day is about $660 in today's money. But let's just go with 20 because that's what it says in the Constitution.
Okay, but try to convince a traffic court of that. And they exist, or they're only in our existence because we gave them our tacit approval to exist, right? Is that what you're... Okay.
Yes. Now I'm going to mention something here. This falls right into this call I got. I got a call from Steve today, whom I consider an alert citizen and a former police officer, talking about how policemen are currently being taught in their academy. He says, when I went to the academy and the police, they spent many hours talking about the rights of the citizens. Today, they don't teach it at all. So these guys that are getting out there do not know the rights of the citizens.
In 1981 it was. I can verify that, okay? I was trained at Municipal Police Officers Training Academy, and I have to say this, all right? One of the biggest things that was drilled into my head and everyone's head that took the course is the rights of the citizens supersede anything that the police officer does in the field. So in other words, it was so overbearing. And you remember going back into the 60s, the Miranda ruling, which gave the Miranda rights now. All right. So, or back then and currently, you know, yes, but no more, right? No more is it the rights of the citizens. Now it's the wishes of the authoritarian police state that it's their wishes that are being carried out by the jackbooted thugs. You know, I used to say back the blue. I have a problem with backing the blue. If you're going to take my neighbor away for not receiving the clot shot, if you're going to force that upon my neighbor, or if you're going to tackle someone who legitimately has a complaint at the Loudoun County School Board, saying, hey, my daughter was raped by some tranny in a unisex bathroom, and you're not going to do anything about it, and the sheriffs come over there and take him away, I can't back the blue anymore. So we have, go ahead, because...
I'm going to get back to this book again. We have so many people in this country that need this book. Every academy of the police department should be teaching this book. Well, really, they should be teaching this book, but nobody understands this book because they don't have this book.
But you know,
they leave words out, folks. They leave words out. They constantly, these authoritarian people who have an agenda. They want to destroy the Constitution. They are by changing the words. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant, which means in accordance, so I'm going to read it again in our language today. This Constitution and the laws of the United States, which are in accordance with the Constitution, and all treaties which are under the authority of the United States, which is in accordance with the Constitution and the laws of the land, shall be the supreme law of the land, and every judge and everybody is bound by it. But everybody's got to understand that it's got to be in accordance with the Constitution. And if it is not in accordance with the Constitution, it is not a law, period. 1871, they passed a bogus law. It was not in accordance with the Constitution in 1871, and it is not in accordance today. Yet everybody's still talking about how the government's a corporation. Oh, look, we lost they wrote a new Constitution. Oh, they did. No, they did not. The Constitution was ratified in 1788, and it has never, the document, this one, never been changed except by bogus laws, lies, and violations of law. You know, I just read you 14th Amendment, didn't I? Just read that to you. Okay, I just read you. Let's go from the 14th Amendment. Let's stay in the 14th Amendment for a second. Let me go here. That's the 11th. There, the 14th is right here. I'm going to go to the second paragraph now. Representatives shall be apportioned among the several states. That sounds legal, doesn't it? Sounds correct. It is not correct. The Constitution, this book, says representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. The fact they left those three words out shows that they're trying to change the Constitution for whatever they want. And this time it was, I want to tax the people directly. So they had to take and direct taxes out of the Constitution. That's what the 16th Amendment is all about. Damn it, people, the 16th Amendment is illegal. It has no foundation in law. None.
But you don't care. Here we are. But yet here we are.
Yeah, and everybody says, oh, I wish I didn't have to fill out these forms. Oh. You don't have to. All you have to do is get your state to say it's illegal in our state to do it. And they have the authority to do it because the 10th Amendment says the federal government can't do anything. And it's not listed in the Constitution. And the Constitution does not give the federal government any power to tax the people.
Okay, as it applies, as it applies today, now you've got the Biden regime weaponizing the IRS to oversee transactions of every person, any transaction over $600. I mean, the surveillance state has gone absolutely jackbooted thugs in your face, overt. None of this is constitutional. So again, I refer back to clip one, just saying 61 years ago, that's how to take the garbage out, but we know what's happening today. Again, I don't condone that. I'm just saying 61 years makes a lot of difference. You know, where are the men? How about where are the statesmen? Maybe that's the better question. Where are the statesmen today that will,
Yeah, Doug, they're talking about an Article 5 convention. They've been talking about that for 50 years, okay?
Yep.
And they keep trying to get it done, Someday they're going to have one. Okay, now, when this Constitution was written in 1787, those men were honest, true patriots, statesmen. They knew what they wanted. They knew that they needed a country controlled by people, not by rogue governments. So they wrote rules that the government can't violate. There they are. The government, the federal government, cannot violate this book. Cannot violate this book. If we had another constitutional convention, and that's what they're wanting, the minute that thing begins, they're going to bring out another constitution which will deprive you of all the rights of this one because that's what they want. And you're not paying any attention. You, the people. I don't mean you, the people that are listening to this. You, the people listening to this, understand these things, but not completely because you're not getting the concordance to this. How many of you folks who are honest, true Christian members following Christ and the Bible, how many of you have a concordance to the Bible in your possession? You have that concordance to help you understand what the Bible says, don't you? I mean, I have them. I'm sure you do. You have them. This is the concordance. The Bible is this. This is the concordance. You cannot understand this without the concordance. And people are working harder to violate this than they are the Bible, yet we still have a concordance of the Bible. Folks, these people are out to get us. They're going to take us to... You're talking about those container ships. Let's have just a little.
And for those listening off air, we were talking about things that we're going to be talking about today, and I did mention this earlier. Let's definitely.
You did mention the container ships earlier.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I guess I did. My memory's going. So West Coast, East Coast, container ships out the wazoo, sitting there, What's going on with this? I want answers. What's going on with this?
I'm going to give you a possibility.
All right.
Only a possibility. We've got all kinds of FEMA camps all over the United States. Okay? We do. We have them. We have prisons already constructed on those FEMA camps and then in places where they can construct them. We have staff. In fact, Washington State has advertised for staff to control their people when they're arrested and put in isolation camps. In fact, it says that people to staff the isolation camps. Why do they need people to staff an isolation camp? Because they're planning to put anybody they can in an isolation camp. What does that mean? That means a concentration camp. That's what it means. Okay, so here we got it. There's a lot of people in the East Coast and the West Coast. And they want to get everybody under their control. So are those containers empty? That's a thought. Everybody thinks containers are full on a container ship. Are they empty? That's very important.
All right. Why expand on that.
Yeah. Well, here's a thought. You know, here's a fact, a small fact. Containers, ships go back to China empty with nothing in the containers because not enough stuff is going to China. Then those same containers are filled with Chinese goods and put on the containers and brought back to us. Then we empty them and they go back empty and they come back full. That's going back and forth. Okay, now, if a container ship is empty, if the purpose is to put something in it. Container ships aren't just sitting there. Containers aren't just there to hold air. They're there to hold some product. We have FEMA camps. They weren't built just to use dirt. They were built for a purpose. Canada has built isolation camps. United States has built isolation camps. They are staffing them. Why? There are container ships out in the ocean. Why? They're sitting there empty? If they're just sitting there, why? Are they empty? Are they full of goods that we need? If they're full of goods that we need, why are they not being offloaded? Why are the stuff sitting out there in a container ship? If it's products we need, why aren't they giving them to us? What's going on? Doug, you said earlier, am I correct? You said earlier that the ships are sitting there and the cranes that are supposed to offload the ships are sitting there and nothing is happening. Yet we have stores, automobile stores with new cars that are not the new cars they need. They don't have the new cars that they need to sell because maybe they're on the container ships.
Well, the ships, okay, which could be a separate problem, but to what you said, okay, yes, there's so much misinformation, disinformation, speculation, rampant speculation out there as to why these container ships are just sitting there without being offloaded. Okay. Meanwhile, the Department of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg is on maternity leave with his husband, which it just blows my mind. Okay. There's so much wrong with that sentence. Anyway. The video I saw, okay, and you go through a lot of videos, you go through a lot of on-the-ground information. One of the dock workers out there took video of the cranes that are not in operation. There are trucks sitting there waiting for a load, and it costs money to sit there with your engines idling and not rolling down the highway. You got the ships out there and the cranes not working. Where is the disconnect? Why aren't these cranes working? What the hell? Is it the vax mandate? Do we have, we don't have enough, people to staff it because of the vax mandates? Did they walk off? Who's screwing the pooch here?
But you see, Doug, you're pointing at an item that exists right now today. Let's talk about items that existed last summer when in the last spring, mostly in the summer, when the shelves of our grocery stores were empty and the federal government was destroying food. They were destroying eggs. They were destroying cattle. They were destroying chickens. They were destroying everything. They were destroying farmers. They were destroying crops. We had, We had potatoes, mountains of potatoes sitting, just sitting in Idaho, going nowhere. People went from Utah up and loaded their car with potatoes because they were just sitting there. Why were they just sitting there? Because the federal government refused to allow them to go. Why? How? By closing the restaurants that were using them, by closing many of the stores, by closing the transportation, by closing anything they could. Why? Why do we have container ships empty? If they've got goods in them, why are they not offloaded? Because the government doesn't want us to have the goods. Are you guys understanding what's happening here? This is a way to destroy the country. They want us out of here. They want us in, they want us in those FEMA camps. They want us dead. They want us dead. Who's in charge of population? Let me say that differently. Who's in charge of the elite depopulation program? Do you know that? Who's in charge of the elite, the international banking establishment, the insiders, whatever you want to call it? Who's in charge of that committee for depopulating the world? Who's in charge of that? Bill Gates. That's who's in charge of it. Bill Gates. So what is Bill Gates doing? He's setting up, first he set up the COVID stuff, and that was all done through Bill Gates, okay? He owns the patents on a lot of stuff. That's how he makes money. Then here come the vaccines. The vaccines, again, are to decimate the population. I don't care what anybody says. We've had 5 deaths in our community, 5 deaths attributed to COVID. They're not COVID, they're vaccines. Although I don't know that because nobody says whether or not they received the vaccine. But they did. People all around here got their vaccine. We've had 5 deaths. 5. Can you see that number? None of which were expected. 5. My community. Okay. And everybody says, woe is me. Oh, this pandemic. Oh, it isn't. There's another statistic I ran across in Lex Green's stuff. Last year, Lex Green's he's a good writer, you guys, and I've got a lot of his information on my computer. But anyway, Lex Green has uncovered or pointed out, that's a better way to say it, that last summer, the ERs of our hospitals were empty because there were no COVID problems. This year, those ERs are full or filling up with what? Vaxxed patients. People who have had the vaccination are filling up the VRs of the hospitals. That's what's happening. The ones that had the vaccination. I'm listening to sirens going up and down the street now, much more than I ever used to. They're ambulances. Why? Why are we hearing more of it? It's all being hidden from us. It's being hidden from us by that they talk about a free press. We have a controlled press, guys. We have no free press. It's controlled. I talk about that in the Liberty series in the media section where they talk about how we are being controlled. I talk about in the Liberty series how Morgan purchased with Rothschild money, Morgan purchased all the editorial staffs of all the newspapers so he could control what the newspapers wrote. And he put Walter Lippmann in charge of it. Yes. To control what's being written. And today we have a couple of organizations who send out the news so that the people read on the newscast, the local cast. And where do they come from? You know, United Press, isn't that one of them? There's two big ones. Those two companies send out all the information that goes to your local station. They read what's sent to them. There's a movie. I like movies. There's a movie called V. It shows exactly how the media begins to control the people. By lying. It shows how it's done. It shows it. It's called B, just the letter B, B like that. It's an excellent movie. It's pretty long. You'll like it. Really fun. Anyway, one of the things it shows how it slowly happens, and it's happening in our country right now. We see nothing on the news of a federal nature that's true. Nothing. It's all phrased. It's all adjusted. It's all fixed. So it says what they want it to say. They'll never tell us The Alphabet people will, Alphabet News folks will never tell us that the ERs are filling up with vaxxed people. They'll never tell us that. They'll never tell us that, that, well, here's, here, here's a couple. This is on Griffin's, news you need to know. A family of four went to a Walgreens to get flu shots. Just recently, two kids, 3 and 4 years old, 4 and 5, that kind of age, okay? And two parents. They went there. Accidentally, quotes, you know what that means? Quotes, accidentally, the whole family was given the full adult shots of the vaccine by Pfizer's vaccine. The whole family, the parents, they went to get flu shots, but they got jabbed with the jab. You can't take it out. Once it's there, you can't take it out. So Walgreens did that to these people on purpose. We just say accidentally because we're not going to convict somebody until they've been convicted. On purpose. How many other people have been to these places to get flu shots and have gotten the vaccine? Because people won't go get it. Another item came to my attention not long ago. Don't go to a hospital. If don't go to a hospital and ask them to give you a shot. They may be giving you the vaccine because you asked for a shot. The person who told me about this, ICU, knows of patients in the ICU while they were under sedation were given vaccines, the jab shot. They didn't authorize it. They were just given it. And once somebody has it, you cannot undo it. It can't be undone. Now we have a young lady going around showing what's in that thing. There are little critters running around on the slides, little critters running around. A slide is just a small drop. The vaccine is what? An ounce? Some number like that? The thing is full of critters. They're all running around in your system now. Folks, you've got to not do this. A dead, deadly thing. The government never cared if you got a flu shot. Then we lost 30, 40, 50, 60,000 people every year from the flu. But nobody cared whether you got a flu shot or not.
Richard Brocker, hold the phone just on that, because this is a conversation that we need to have. And you've got you've got the goods on this. But before we move on, you said something very profound. And that was about the Sinclair Scripts being, all the newscasters. Woe to them.
Oh, yes. Okay. It's been going on since 1920.
All right. Now, to verify what you're saying, as if you need verification, you don't. But this is a great visual and audio representation of really what you just said. If you don't mind, I'm going to pose for 60 seconds. Here it is, right here.
Do it.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Fox San Antonio's Jessica Headley.
And I'm Ryan Wolf.
Our greatest responsibility is to serve our Treasure Valley communities.
The El Paso, Las Cruces communities.
Eastern Iowa communities.
Mid-Michigan communities.
We are extremely proud of the quality, balanced journalism that CBS 4 News produces.
But we are concerned about one-sided news stories plaguing our country.
The sharing of biased and false news has become all too common on social media. More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
The sharing of biased and false
news has become all too common on social media.
More alarming, some media outlets publish these same fake stories without checking facts first.
Unfortunately, some members of the media use their platforms to push their own personal bias and agenda to control exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 You get it now, folks. This is what Richard Proctor said. There it is, in living color. Yeah, keep watching your freedom.
It's all scripted, pass. You guys. They yeah. send a script to these people, and they read it. They read it off of their teleprompters. They read this stuff, and you just saw an illustration of it. Again, I'm back to stuff, a book called Capable of Honor, written by a man named Alan Drury, written in the late 50s, early 60s. Oh, you wouldn't want to read that. It's ancient history. You got to read something new. Old stuff is no good. Ha. Alan Drury knew exactly what was going on in Washington, D.C., and he wrote several books about it. One of them was The Capable of Honor. And what Capable of Honor has, the whole theme of Capable of Honor, is a fiction capable character named Wonderful Walter. It just so happens that Walter Lippmann was the one doing it for the CFR during the 50s, 40s, and 30s, Walter Lippmann. So Wonderful Walter is the character in Capable of Honor. And Wonderful Walter gets on his typewriter every day and bangs out the keys. You know, olden days they had typewriters with keys. Banged it out, and sent it out to everybody so that everybody would have the same script. And he did that every day. And that was going on back before the 50s. Before the 50s, not today. Today it's going on too, but it's done more quickly. It's done easier. It's simpler. You can just put it on a video clip. A video clip, a sound clip, and just send it to everybody in a second. We all got it now. Everybody can just pull it off and read it. Folks, we are being ruined. Our democracy, dangerous to our democracy. You see, you repeat a lie often enough, it becomes the truth. We do not have a democracy. We don't have a republic either, but we do not have a democracy. We don't have a republic because we have no representation in Washington. None. Get that into your mind. We have no representation in Washington, D.C. None at all. There, each representative, on average, each representative represents 800,000 people. Every senator represents 3.3 million people. Neither of those people pay any attention to any of the people they're supposed to be representing. We do not have a republic either. We've got a media telling us what to do. We've got a group of people in Congress pretending like they're our representatives. Oh, yeah, we represent the people. You do not. You represent who gives you money. You represent the elite. You represent the international banking establishment. You represent the power of the world. You represent Bill Gates, Soros, George Soros. You represent those people. You represent the descendants, Rothschild descendants, the Lazard descendants, the Harriman descendants. You represent those people. You do not represent us. And that's what's going on today. And that's exactly what's happening. And he just showed you a clip. A clip is perfect. It's perfect. But everybody's glued to that set to find out what to believe today. What are we going to believe today? What will we believe today? You see, I didn't say what is the news today. I said, what will we believe today? Here's an interesting statement. If the facts, truths, don't make us feel good, then we choose find a different set of facts or truths to believe in, even when those facts or truths are blatant lies. So what we're doing today is we're listening to facts being fed to us by the international banking establishment that agree with what we want them to say, because that's what they're saying all the time. So we feel good about that. And it's official. It's over the, it's coming on the news, the Alphabet News. It's official. Yes. Oh, yes. The Alphabet News. We are glued to the set every day. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news. You're glued there. I haven't watched a news program of any type for more than 2 decades. No, not one. I miss out on some stuff. But I don't miss out on anything that's really important because I hear about it. Other people tell me about it. I haven't read a newspaper from the Alphabet News people once I got rid of all my newspapers 10 years ago. I used to get them because they had things in them I wanted. They took those things out and I stopped. I haven't had a newspaper for a decade. I haven't listened to a news broadcast for 20 years, more than 20 years, decades. Folks, you gotta get the lies out of your head. You hear a lie often enough, you will think it's true. You hear that, it's dangerous to our democracy over and over and over and over. Now, I don't know what they said was dangerous to our democracy, but we don't have a democracy and they all know that. No, they don't. They know what they're told to know and they're repeating it over and over and over. Why? Because they're paid to, they're paid actors. They are paid actors. Do you think all the stuff coming from Hollywood, those things are real? No, they're made up. They're made up because that's what entertains us. Well, the news is made up by Bill Gates, George Soros and company. And it's fed through the communications information to all the media. And they all repeat all the same thing every day. In B, a guy says, I'm getting tired of hearing the same thing every day from everybody. That's what he says. That's a fiction book, but it's a true statement. I'm being tired of being fed the same thing every day from everybody. And they don't support the alternate media. They don't learn. They don't do things. They don't read. They don't do what's necessary. I know I'm talking to the choir. I understand that. But a comment was made today when I was reading an item, it was talking about the choir. We've got to preach to the choir because they're really the only ones still there. The audience left or they went to sleep. We're preaching to the choir. What are we preaching to the choir? Well, we're hoping the choir then will teach the rest of the people. That's our job. We're the choir. We've got to teach the other people. We've got to help them learn. Christmas is coming. You guys, Christmas is coming. I've got lots of these books and I've got lots of all the other books too. I've got lots of these books ready to send out. Christmas presents couldn't be worth, there's no Christmas present you can give to anybody that's worth more than this book. I don't care what it is. You could give them gold bars. It's not worth more than this book. Jewelry that's not worth more than this book. New cars are not worth more than this book. Folks, that book tells what this book says. And this book's our life right here. The sixth article again, sixth article. I got to get to the sixth article. The laws of the Supreme Court, of the supreme law of the land, and the senators and representatives and the members of the several state legislatures and all executive and judicial officers, both of the United States and of the several states, shall be bound by oath to support this Constitution. That's what it says word for word. Well, guys, most people don't know that. Most people don't know Article 6. Article 6 is the second most important article in the Constitution, I think. Just me, I think. I think the first most important is Article 7, which is the ratification of the Constitution. The ratification of the Constitution is what makes it law, and that's Article 7. Article 6 says it is law and the laws have to be in accordance with it and all treaties have to be in accordance with it and that makes them law. And the minute that all those things happen and everything is in accordance with what? The Constitution, you're bound by oath to do it and it's the supreme law of the land. But nobody in Washington, D.C. is doing it. And that's why there's a fence around Washington, D.C., well, around the fence people. They're in a fence now. We are prevented from going to see them. This is not a republic. It is not a democracy. We are a fascist country at this point, just like Italy was during World War II, a fascist country.
I have to do a top-of-the-hour break, but I want to ask you on the other side real quick. I'm going to ask this question, take the top-of-the-hour break, and then come back to this question. I want to ask you, isn't it, I guess, to get your take on – the left was warning about a fascist dictatorship under President Trump, and yet here we have a full-blown authoritarian fascist state under the Biden regime. Consider that, folks. And guest, of course, is Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. You're listening to the Hagmann Report on the Global Star Radio Network and across multiple platforms, including Spreaker, iTunes, iHeart. I don't know. It's a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to say we just passed 1.56 million downloads over the last 30 days. Thank you so much for making this show as popular as it is. Before I get back to Mr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, I want to mention to you something that has been on my mind lately, and I want to ask you this question. You know, we need to take care of business and our credit card bills. Look, credit's just a thing, right? Are credit card bills keeping you up at night? Because interest rates in the double digits, is that a thing for you? If it is, I've got the perfect thing. And you know, folks, I do not endorse or speak about anything I don't use myself. Well, Lightstream. I want to tell you about Lightstream. Lightstream.com/Hagmann. Be smart right now and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. Rates start at 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. The reason I stumbled over that, really? 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. You can't make that up. I mean, that's an amazing rate. Plus, that rate is fixed, so it'll never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000. No fees, and you can even get your money the same day that you apply. They've made it so easy for our family, our business associates here, to consolidate our credit card balances into a manageable rate, and it makes life so much easier. Don't lose sleep at night anymore. Don't be paying double digit, triple digit, almost, you know, these insane interest rates. Go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. Again, just for my listeners, apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Hagmann. That's lightstream.com/Hagmann. Remember, two N's on Hagmann. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR, include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagmann for more information. Remember, two N's on Hagmann. That's lightstream.com/Hagmann. I want to thank them for being part of this and sticking with us during this tumultuous time, but they make life a lot easier. Okay, my guest, Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com. You know, again, I just find it very interesting. You mentioned right before the top of the hour break that we're living in a fascist dictatorship here, or fascist state, or authoritarian state. But we were warned about this under Trump, but now it's under Biden regime, and it's all okay. Fence around the Capitol. What do we do about this, Doc? I mean, go ahead, continue with this, because this hurts.
I want to, but I want to back up a little thing. You're just talking about Lightstream. Here's an item about Lightstream that Doug, you haven't mentioned. It's a signature-only loan. It is not collateralized. It's a signature loan.
That's good.
And it's not collateralized. You don't have to put up your house and car or anything like that to get it. All your car loans are collateralized. Your home loan's collateralized. Almost all loans are collateralized. Credit card loans aren't collateralized. And Lightstream is not collateralized. And that's very important. From an economic view, that's very important.
And, you know, I want to say as well, folks, he's the economic expert, okay? You think he's a constitutional expert? He's also an economic expert. The book, Bathroom Economics, if you haven't read that book, oh, man, I feel a lot. My IQ was raised by reading that book, Bathroom Economics. Understand economics in just a few sittings, plain English, man. Richard Proctor, you are able to write books, let me tell you, and books that people understand. And you made economics fantastic for me, at least to understand. And I've had economists on this show, and things, you know, right over the head. But you make it easy. So, folks, take advantage of that. Get Bathroom Economics. Go ahead.
Economics is an easy subject. It really is an easy subject. It's the professors that make it hard.
Yeah.
That's what happens, folks. That's what happens. My wife.
I wish I had you. I wish I would have had you as an economics professor. I really do. I would not have screwed up my checkbook so bad, probably. But anyway, go
well,
ahead.
That's a different subject. That's accounting.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, anyway, let's get back to it.
All right.
In the days of World War II, we had several different kinds of government. Well, I guess we really only had two. One was a communist government. A communist government owns everything. It is the property of all manufacturing. Everything is the property of the government. Okay? A fascist government, the property is owned by the people, but the government controls what they do. And that's a big difference. And Italy was fascist. And Russia, who was an ally of ours, but that was communist. That's the difference between communist and fascism. Fascism, you own the business, but you're told what to do. Now, what happened during Trump? Let's be honest. Let's be honest. What happened? He took out laws. He took out regulations. He took out executive orders. He abolished all kinds of things to allow business to work better. That means that he was moving away from a fascist government. Now, the people accuse him of being one because they have to have sound bites and they have to say something. So they pick out a sound bite and they say, he's a fascist. Well, you can say anything you want. You can say this is dangerous to our democracy over and over and over again, and everybody will believe that's what it is, a democracy. Well, if they say fascist government over and over and over, you'll think it's true because that's the purpose of propaganda. Okay? Now, during the war, World War II, Italy was a fascist country. The United States has never been a fascist country. They've got some fascism in it. I know some of the businesses are controlled by government. I know that. But it's not the main deal. But now it is. Now it is the main deal. And this started during the Trump administration in 20. During 2020, this started when they started to close businesses. But it was the states that really were doing it. The states were closing the businesses. What do they say? What did you just say a few minutes ago? You can't tell a business what to do? Well, haven't they been telling the business what to do for a full year and a half? Yes, they have. They're telling them where the people can sit. They're telling them how many people can be in a place. They're telling them what they have to wear. Now I'm going to get to something that's been going on for decades. The health inspector is telling them what they can serve and how they have to serve it. Now, I'm going to explain something to you people. I don't know how well you know lobster. Lobster's a very good thing to eat. It's really good. But if it's overcooked, it's like chewing elastic. It's like chewing a rubber band. Did you know that almost every lobster you buy in the United States, every meal, you're eating a rubber band? Why? Because the health people, health department, demands that they cook it to a certain level. And that certain level turns it into rubber. Lobster should never be cooked to that level. Same thing with over and over. You get something now. I looked at a dinner last night. It was packed and frozen. And it said, you got to check it with a thermometer, 165 degrees. Guys, you don't either have to check it with a thermometer, 165 degrees. But they say that in case you get sick and you didn't do that, then they're safe because we are a litigious society. But we still are setting things at 165. You realize if you cook your turkey exactly the way the government wants you to cook it, it's not going to be as good as it could be if you cook it just your own way. And your own way is going to be easier to cook.
I like my chicken and turkey medium rare.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, folks, everything that's happening, everybody looks. You know all the lids on everything today? All the security things, so we won't. In the past, way back in the past, well, I guess it about two decades ago, some very bad individuals began putting noxious things in products being sold on the shelf. So when it was discovered, The Food and Drug Administration demanded that all those products be taken off the shelf. And the company, their lots, they took them all off. They pulled them all back. The companies did. Everybody was working after your health. Today, we're buying things. We're going through a situation where they don't take anything off the shelf. We have to have these bands, these things around it. You've got to have everything you buy now has two or three different items that you have to open to get into the thing to use it. And it's all because of people who did in the past things that were bad. And that's what the restaurant business is required. That's what the food industry is requiring of, to overcook. That's fascism. The fascism is telling the people how to do their thing. So fascism is not new to this world. Fascism is a part of our world. It's a part of our lives today, a big part of our lives.
I was wondering how you were going to connect the temperature of a cooked lobster to fascism. Now I understand. Fun fact, by the way, lobster used to be the staple of prison food back in the day, okay? Actually, because it was cheap. So I'm just saying, it's a fun fact. Look it up.
I was in Massachusetts on Revere Beach. And I went to the little place next to the little selling the lobster place on the beach. And there was two lobsters for $8.
Yeah.
And that's not too long ago. It was the 90s, but it's not that long ago.
Yeah, I was up in New England back in the 90s briefly when it wasn't full-blown, you know.
Lobster's really good, but you got to get it. It's got to be succulent. Shrimp overcooked, it goes into an O rather than a C.
It's like a Super Bowl, right? I mean,
yeah. Overcooked shrimp goes to this.
Yep.
Regular shrimp would be like this, well cooked. Right. I don't dare cook shrimp because I won't know when to take it out. Okay. So I don't ever cook shrimp. I get cooked this shrimp that's already cooked. Same with lobster. I'm not going to cook the lobster either.
Back to your point, though. So
fascism.
It really is. It's medical fascism for the clot shots. It's food fascism for food.
Yes.
Okay. Now the counter argument, though, and I'm just going to ask you this. Well, if we didn't have these company or the regulatory, over food production, people would be sick and, the cleanliness would go down. And, what do you say about that?
I say that that's not true. Okay. That's not true. I lived in the 50s. All these things they didn't have these things in the 50s. We didn't get sick. We ate food. We didn't get sick and the food was good. Oh my mother. Oh, food was good. Today I can't duplicate what my mother did with her recipes. I can't duplicate it. It's just not the same because of the federal government. Now, just think about this. We're talking about fascism. Just think about this. When you buy a car, do you have a catalytic converter on it? Yes. Why? Because the government told them to put it on it. When you buy a car, is it streamlined and all the cars look the same? Yes, because the government told them they had to have a certain mileage. And to get that mileage, to have cars they wanted to sell, larger, fancy cars, they had to have all the other cars be slim nothings. Lexus sells a car that looks like a Toyota. I'm sorry, because the government controls how they have to look by the miles per gallon. Guys, everything we do is every one of the reasons that car prices have gone up so much is not because of inflation. It's because the government has put so many rules on them and they have to do it and they have safety. OSHA going around making sure it's done. By the way, folks, OSHA is an unconstitutional organization. Unconstitutional.
How so?
It's a federally controlled organization. It's a federal bureaucracy and they have no right in business or states. 10th Amendment. You can't do it. 10th Amendment. I have the right to work my private property. 4th Amendment. I can just go on and on, folks. Constitution precludes the government from telling anybody how to build anything. The government precludes OSHA from telling anybody how to build something. For example, OSHA says you got to have a, if you've got a, this is an example, you've got a platform that's 4 feet above the ground, you've got to have a banister, certain height. And if you have slats, you know, they have to be certain amount close so people can't stick their heads through. All these things are built because somebody did something wrong. So we're going to prevent it from happening. And we're going to prevent it from happening to make sure that everybody follows the rule, a rule. Are you going to, if you go into a restaurant and you get butter, it's going to be hard as a brick. I have to hold the butter in my hand like this to get enough warmth to get it soft enough to use. You don't have to refrigerate butter. Not at all. In my home, when I was growing up, there was no refrigeration of the butter ever. We don't refrigerate it in our home either, ever. You can use butter nicely. You don't have to refrigerate half the things. They say, got to be refrigerated after you open it. No, you don't. Most of the stuff doesn't. We had very small refrigerators in the 50s, and everything was good, and nothing spoiled. Well, things spoiled. Yes, they did. But they didn't spoil any different than they do today. If you put something in there and leave it for 6 months, it'd become a science project, you know.
Yeah, and I've done that as a bachelor back in the day.
My mother did it all the time. We always had science projects in the refrigerator.
Right. I mean, what is that? I don't know. But, you know, it didn't taste too good. Anyway, so it's a couple
that's
of things.
Fascism.
Okay, that's fascism. OSHA was established by Richard Nixon back in 71, I believe it was. So you're telling me that's under the umbrella of the U.S. Department of Labor, OSHA is. So.
Oh, is that where it is, under labor?
Yeah, under the Department of Labor. Now.
There shouldn't be a Department of Labor either.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Is that even part of the constitutional framework? So, I'm frustrated. None of this is legal. But give our consent.
Yeah, we allow it. Let's just talk a minute for that very thing. Unconstitutional federal programs, okay? FBI, unconstitutional. CIA, unconstitutional. The number of federal judges, unconstitutional. The Constitution doesn't designate how many there should be. The number is unconstitutional, okay? OSHA, unconstitutional. Forestry Service, unconstitutional. Fish and Game, unconstitutional. And we can go more than that. Libraries for Presidents, unconstitutional. On and on and on. I've got 1,000 items in Volume 1 of my Liberty series, a whole list, 1,000 items, all unconstitutional, folks. They're all unconstitutional. And we pay taxes for them every day. They're all unconstitutional. On and on and on, folks, unconstitutional. We have allowed it to the point now where we don't remember that, by the way, that's the federal government that's doing this to us. Therefore, the Constitution does apply to it. You see, that's the key. The key is who's doing it. This Constitution doesn't apply to what the states do, except that they take an oath that they will follow the Constitution. Okay. But it's written. This Constitution is not written for your rights. Nope. This Constitution is not written for any state. It's written to control a rogue government, a rogue federal government. It's written to control man's avarice, his desire for control and dictatorship. I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to tell people what to do. It's written to prevent that. This is not written for your rights. It's written to tell the government to stop.
It's a book of limitations.
Do things.
Yeah.
Pardon?
It's a book of limitations, or it's a manual of limitations.
That's right. It limits. Yeah, the whole thing is to tell the government what they can't do and what they can do. That's why the 10th Amendment was written. You can't do, federal government, you can't do anything the Constitution doesn't say you can do. You can't do anything if the Constitution doesn't have it. And the 10th Amendment goes on and says, if it's not in the Constitution, it belongs to the states. And the Bill of Rights was written so that we could more precisely outline what the freedoms are for the people. The Constitution gives all those freedoms to us, but it's very subtle. So the Bill of Rights was written so anybody could understand it. And the Ninth Amendment, we're going to talk about these two amendments, Ninth and Tenth, next week. Oh, we're going to start with the Seventh. We're going to start, Eighth, Ninth, and Tenth next week in my podcast. But Ninth Amendment, it's very complicated. But what it says is, if a right is the rights that are listed in the Constitution. No, let me rephrase that. The rights that are not listed in the Constitution are still your rights. Now, that's what it says in the Ninth Amendment. It doesn't say that. It's very complicated. But it means rights that are not listed you still have. You still have rights. What rights do we have that are not listed? The right of exclusion. Boy Scouts don't have to have girls in them. The Rotary Club doesn't have to have women in. Men don't have to be in the ladies' league. We all say that's restricting our freedoms. No, it's not. It's allowing people to have freedom. I don't want to, I'm going to be absolutely blunt here. Guys, I don't want to go to a bar because of the people that are there. So I have the right not to do that. Right? I have the right not to go there, don't I?
Yeah.
They have the right to go there and drink their beer and do their thing, don't they?
Yep.
I don't like to go there because I don't want to be in an environment like that. That's my choice. I have a right. See, there's a right. It's not written in the book, but I still have the right.
You have the right to do or not to do something. Okay, so let's work this out, because this, what you're talking about, goes back to the original Jen Psaki, we're going to jab you, and federal law supersedes state law. Which this is all just BS that she's spouting off, right? I mean, so all of this, you're making the points.
Let's look at what happened here. Let's look at what happened. We're back in 1787. We're back on the first day of the Constitutional Convention in Philadelphia. Okay. The very first day. Why are they there? They're there to create a document. Now, this is what they decided. They're there to create a document to put binders, chains, on a government so they can't run roughshod over the people. We see that happen in Britain. We do not want to have the same things happen. So many things that are written here are written because they were done in Britain. They were done in England. It was a part of English culture, part of the way things were done, but they were always difficult, injurious to private people, one way or another. So the Constitution was written to ensure that they were chains on the government. That's the whole purpose those men did, was to have a government that the people controlled, not the government controlled. We the people, the first three words in the preamble. And the meaning of that is, we the people have written this document to prevent you, the government, from trumping on our lives. I didn't call them rights, did I? I call them lives. For example, another example, zoning tramples on your rights to use your property. Did you know that? Did you ever think of it that way? All zoning does is prevent you from using your private property, and that's done by your local government. See? All the stuff that when you buy a house, you get a whole book of things that the mortgage that you're signing away. It's about that thick when you sign a document.
Oh, my gosh. Yes,
because of the government control.
Yep.
All you really should have to sign is something the size of a pamphlet.
Six
pages is enough.
But, okay, now you raise an interesting point. Okay, so you mentioned mortgage documents as opposed to documents of sale. All right. Now, people might say, well, you know, what's the difference? Because everyone who buys property buys it with a mortgage. Not everybody, but the vast majority do, because who's got, you know, X amount of dollars, you know, sitting in their checking account ready to write a check for, you know,
the house. If you pay cash for it, you don't take out a mortgage.
Right. But the zoning, the regulations, the township ordinances, all of these rules still apply, regardless if it's a cash sale or a mortgage deal. However, the mortgage is more restricting because they don't want your their asset, which is a performing asset at that point, I don't know how to describe it, but they've got an interest in the, in your property.
Yes, they have an interest. Mortgage people have an interest in the property, so they make sure you have fire insurance.
Right. Which.
That's what they do. That's their right. You borrow money from them. That's their right to tell you that you have to have fire insurance because we're going to have to pay for it if it burns down.
And, you know, if you don't have the other part of this, and I don't know how many people experience this, but if you don't have enough of a down payment or if you're close, they have PMI insurance, which is a tax, which is incredible by the banks. Well, you didn't really put enough down. So we're going to charge you like $30 a month, 20, whatever it might be. It's based on the sale of your, you know, the more.
And you know, you don't have to pay that after 20 years because it's paid off in 20 years.
Well, actually, you know, the first a house I bought a bunch of years ago, they slapped me with a PMI premium on there. And all I had to do was, and this, folks, this might be helpful to you. All I had to do was, with the savings and loan I had the mortgage at, was to show that the value of the house by the improvements that I made exceeded that, what was a 20%, or I think it was like a 20% thing. And they dropped the PMI. But that was, I don't know, a quarter of a century ago, so I don't know if that still applies.
We're back into economics.
Yeah.
I want you guys to think of something here. The economists get involved in money and how money works. You just talked about the PMI, but talk about points, for example. If you see somebody advertising a mortgage for you at, let's say, 1% today, I can give you the best mortgage in town. I can give you your mortgage at 1%. Yes, sirree, Bob. When you get there, remember the prime rate is probably somewhere, well, the rate that everybody's charging is somewhere around 2.5 or 2.75 or 3 or some number. The reason they're giving you the loan at 1% is you're going to pay all the interest up front. That's all they're doing. They have computed the interest that they're going to get on the loan if you reduce that by a little bit, by paying money. So what you've got to do before you buy points to buy your interest rate down, before you do that, you've got to see what the difference is between the interest rate of the one that you're going to get and the interest rate of the one you're not going to the one they're trying to sell you. Then you compare the two, you see what the final number is, and you subtract the two, and then you see how much money you want to spend to pay the point down. I can buy a new home and have, interest rate of zero if I'll pay the interest up front. And that's the kind of thing they're doing. That's what points are.
So now, say that again, because I don't think people really get that.
You see, now it's not precise. You can't do it black and white precisely as I just said that, because the interest on a loan could be $80,000 on the loan. You buy a house for $80,000, you may pay interest for $80,000 over a 30-year mortgage, okay? But if you buy some points, then you can buy the points down just a little less. So it won't be $8,000. It'll be something. It'll be $3,000 or $4,000 to buy the points down per point, maybe more. A guy got in touch with me. He wanted to refinance. No cost to refinance. Okay, good, good, good. I'll get this no cost for refinance at 2%, and when the rates were really 3%. But the price he was charging me included points to get it down to 2%. And they don't tell you that. They do not tell
you. Got it. What a gig. Yeah.
Oh, you guys, you don't have any idea what the banks are doing, what they're collecting on your home. And remember, it's all profit to the bank, every dime. But here's something to think about. Here's something to think about. I did refinance once. This home right now. I didn't pay any charges. The charges were paid. The charges that are part of the mortgage were paid by the mortgage company. Do you know why? There's a little line at the top of the page that said, commission, $9,000. Mm. If they could get me to refinance, the mortgage company paid all of the bills, and the mortgage company then paid them $9,000 to get me to refinance. That's what that said at the top. You guys got to look at your paperwork a little close. $9,000. Now, I didn't have to pay that $9,000. The mortgage paid it. But why did the mortgage do it? Because they were going to get an income stream off of you. They're going to make money every month off of you. Every month, you're going to pay them $1,000 a month that you wouldn't have gotten because they enticed you with a, you don't have to pay anything. You still have to pay things. Oh, yes, you do. Okay. And there's nothing, y'all will pay the cost. No, they don't. You have to pay a lot of costs, but you don't have to pay certain costs. And those costs are all paid for by the mortgage company, and they're very expensive. But for them to get you to do that, they have to pay those costs. And one of those costs is that interest rate to the seller. Now, the real estate person wants money from you for that house. Well, they're going to pay it. The interest, the bank is going to pay it. You don't have to. You see, that's what's happening. Folks, don't refinance unless you really, really mean to, because refinancing just starts you all over again in your loan. All over again. And you begin paying on a new 30 years, and they say, oh yeah, but it's low. Yeah, I know it's lower. You got a better interest rate, but you're going to pay more money in interest. You're going to pay more money in interest. Make sure that whenever you do a refinancing, make sure that what you're doing isn't going to cost you more in the end because you're doing it.
Okay. Let me ask you, because this is like in real life, okay, what we're talking about, real life scenarios, people, this is stuff that people deal with every single day, and this is valuable information, folks. I'm telling you, and to help you out, go to ProvisInstitute.com and get Bathroom Economics. This will help you out tremendously, okay? But these are real-life scenarios. We're talking about everything from zoning to mortgages to banks. Let me ask you this real quick question, because this made news here a little bit ago, like last week or within the last 2 weeks. Biden's controversial pick to be Treasury Secretary or Comptroller of the Currency, which I don't even know what the heck that is. I mean, I do, but I don't know. I just don't know. Let me ask you this, okay? This is a Soviet-raised communist, a Harvard or a professor who praised the former Soviet Union. I mean, this is a full-blown communist. I don't even know how to pronounce the name. Saleh or Omarova, a Cornell University law professor, tapped by Biden on September 23rd to oversee the nation's biggest banks and federal savings associations.
Ask Eric to move that up so I can see those two lines. Just a little way. Stop.
There we go.
Non-depository lenders.
What the hell does this even mean?
Private banks, non-depository lenders.
Yeah.
You know what that means? That means that they're making up the money right from the get-go. Non-depository.
This can't be good for anybody then.
No, this is not good for anybody. But we already have non-depository lenders, okay? I'm sorry, guys. We already do. We already have it. She's not talking about anything that I wouldn't do. If I were running a bank, I would consider zero interest. Nobody pay any interest to me at all for their home loan. I would consider that.
I like your bank. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I know that every monthly payment goes to me as profit anyway. So I need to attract your business. I might even pay you to come and borrow money from me and still charge you no interest because I'm going to make money every month on your loan. Every month, whether I have interest or not. The interest is not important. The banks don't really need the interest. They need the principal. And they're going to get every dime, you see. So what she said was a non-depository bank. Well, most of the loans that you take from a bank are already non-depository. That's what the system, the reserve banking system means. The reserve rate is, right now, it's 10%. They have to keep $10 out of every $100 you deposit. That, the rest of the money you deposit, they deposit first, the first thing they do, let's go to, you're going to borrow $1,000. Let's use that number. You sign the paperwork. At the end of the day, how does the bank treat the paperwork you just signed for that $1,000 loan? They capitalize it. They make it $9,000. Now, you deposited $1,000. The other nine, they kept $1,000. They kept $1,000. Well, they only kept $100, but there'll be $1,000 after every said and done. But they have to keep $100 of it. But they loan out on a $1,000 loan, they have to keep $100. $1,000, one-tenth is $100. They loan out $9,000. That's non-depository money too. So what they're really saying is the banks will only make money on the payments. But the reset is there's no payments even. Now that's the communist business. No payments. And that's what the great reset is. We're going to take your, you don't have to pay any mortgage again. It's all free. There's a little thing at the bottom. You know those little words at the bottom? But you have to deed your house to me. I own your house. That's what the Great Reset is. Don't be bamboozled by this no interest rate, mortgage is free. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, they're free. I get a free house. No, you don't. You have to deed the house to me. Now I own your home. I'll do with it what I want. And they do. They can confiscate too. And that's the same thing.
See, okay. And this is important because we hear about this all the time. So here I am, and I need, because I know you know this backwards and forwards, this great reset. You'll own nothing and be happy. Here I am. I've got a house. It's all paid for. I'm pretending now. Okay. It's, in fact, it's a castle. It's sitting in where I live.
It's a mansion. That's going to be a really billion-dollar mansion.
Okay. So yeah, now I'm this, and you know what? I paid cash for it, and all said and done, I don't have a mortgage, or maybe I do. I don't know. Who cares? How am I not going to have that own that? Because I own it. So how am I not going to own that? I got a deed right here.
But you see, you own it. That's absolutely right. And you don't have a mortgage against it. That's also absolutely right. Then this is the area of confiscation. And they're going to do that too. The Great Reset will do confiscation also.
No, but this is my castle. This is my castle.
Let's assume that you've paid half the payments. Now they're going to waive your interest rate. They're going to waive the payment, I mean. You've already made your let's $1 million home. You've already paid $500,000 on it. Cash and payments all together because you've been paying on it for 10 years plus the cash you put down. Now they're going to wipe away your interest, but you have to deed the home to them. They are taking the $500,000 away from you that you put into it. They're stealing it from you. So if you have only one payment and they're going to waive that, that's no different than waiving all the payments as far as they're concerned because you deed the house to them. They're confiscating the wealth you have in that home. And you do have wealth in that home. They're confiscating it. Let me give you an illustration. Housing prices have been rising pretty good recently, haven't they? All around. In the West, in the central states, not in California and New York, those areas, they can't sell their homes. They're still getting good money for them, but they're not getting what they used to get because the people, there's too many sellers, not enough buyers. So what's happening, you see, is they're coming here to Utah and they're buying homes with cash. Okay? They're buying homes with cash or they're buying homes with 50% down. Okay, anything like that, anything, whether you have a mortgage or not, when the Great Reset is a confiscation of your wealth, That's what it is. It's confiscation of your wealth. If you've made not one payment, they made only one payment and down payment, they only confiscate your down payment. But if they may, if you've made 29 years of payments, they're going to confiscate all the wealth of that 29 years.
But what if I own it outright? What if I made all my payments and I burn my mortgage?
You know? Yep, but they're still going to take it on the Great Reset. They're still going to take your home. They're going to confiscate it.
How?
They're going to do it by a gun.
Well, I gun back.
Well, you can do that. You can do that. Again, you got to watch the movie Dr. Zhivago, because that's what happened exactly.
I knew that's where you were going to say, because folks, if you haven't watched that movie, you got to watch it, because we're seeing it play out today. And Dr. Proctor is right, is correct on this.
Now, all those people are coming in and buying homes. Actual dollars, my home that I live in right now, in the 3 years we've lived here, without the addition we're adding onto it, was appraised at $582,000. I bought it for $370,000. If they give me, they take away the loan and they don't pay for it anymore, what have I lost? I've lost the $500,000, not just the payments I made. I've lost the value of the home too.
Correct.
So you're not, that's what the Great Reset is. It's confiscation of your wealth. If I sell my home today, I just got another appraisal. It may include the addition. I don't know. $730,000. So if I went down to the mortgage guys and says, I want $730,000 for my home, they'd probably find a buyer lickety split because these people are from California with the money.
But okay, so you got Bernie Sanders owning a couple of mansions. You got Hillary and Bubba owning a beautiful spread in Westchester. I've been there knocking on the gate. So you're telling me that they're going to take their houses?
Oh, no. They're not going to take the houses of the elite.
Oh. Well, that's different.
They're not going to take those houses. Or if they do, just to pretend like they're going to, they're going to allow you to live there for free with no costs and no anything, no upkeep, no nothing.
Well, okay. So again, walk me through this. How do they just, so they take my house. They say, here, you paid half. We're going to relieve you of the other half of the mortgage payments, right?
Yep.
Okay. So yay. But does that mean I get to live there for nothing, or does that mean that?
Oh, what does that mean? Theoretically, that's what they're pretending like. You're going to live there for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of homeless people in our country.
Mm.
And they're importing a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Russia, people own the homes. We're talking 1918.
Mm-hmm.
They owned their homes. It was a nice home. Let's say 1916, because before World War I.
Right. I got it. Go ahead.
They owned the home, and it was a nice home, and they enjoyed it. And lots of peasants out in the didn't own any homes because they were farming the land. They may or may not have owned it. They may have been serfs. They may have been just farming the land. Doesn't matter. They're out there working. Okay? And they began to move into the city because the city was more comfortable. But then they were living in slums. But as soon as they confiscated your home, took your value, stole it from you, they moved other people into your home because now they own it. And they make your home a hotel. Let's say, for example, I have a home of 4,000 square feet. Got a lot of rooms. It's very comfortable. 4,000 square feet. Now, they consider people to only need 800 square feet.
Cozy.
They're going to move five families in.
Not so cozy.
That's right.
Mm.
They own your house. They're going to move five families in. Who? They're going to move families in that are destitute, homeless, or people living in shacks, all kinds of things. They're going to move people out of shacks, let them live in your home. All homes will become shacks. That's what the Great Reset means. You lose your home, any money you've put into it and any value you might have gotten if you'd sold it the day before.
Okay. Do you think in this is calls for your speculation? Do you think that'll fly in this country?
We're doing it already. Our people are already leaning down to do whatever the government wants them to do right now, right this minute. So will it fly in our country? It wouldn't have 50 years ago. It sure will today. People like to get stuff from the government. 50% of the people are living off government dole already.
That's a problem. And that's the
problem.
All those
people will get your house. See? All those people. They won't have the dole. They'll have your house. There'll be plenty of them, plenty of people to use your house. They'll have four, five families living here with me. I only get 800 square feet.
I would make their life a living hell. You want to move some people in with me? I guarantee you, you're going to want to move out.
You missed the point. You missed the point. They're going to put a committee in charge of it, not you.
I'm one caustic roommate, let me tell you.
Yes. You're not going to be the guy. You own the home. You're not going to be the person to decide who moves in, who stays, or how they act. You become one of the people. You don't own it anymore. Anybody, everybody gets the same as you. And if they decide that you only get 600 square feet instead of 800 square feet, my home, will now house, 4,000 divided by 6, and I get 666 square feet.
Gee, that's an interesting number, but I digress. Okay. Okay. So we're not okay with this. Meanwhile, in real life, folks, this is what we're talking about in real life. It's happening now.
Yep. Six families, 6 3/4, 6 2/3 families will move into your home. And they'll segregate the rooms. They'll let you have one. Maybe they'll even take that away from you and make you move into one of the smaller rooms and give that room to two families.
I would burn my house down first.
That's not a bad idea.
You're
going to lose it all anyway. Burn it as you leave.
I would burn my house down and I would pour salt on the ground and I would be shooting my way out as I leave. Just to let you guys know.
But that's the great reset. The great reset. The great debt reset. The great reset. All of these things are the same thing. You are deeding your home to the government. Canada. I've got a document here of the strategic agreement in Canada, the strategic committee, the strategic federal government planning committee. This was done in like October. By December, they wanted to have all these isolation camps done. During this year, the 2021, they were going to give requirements. You got to take the vaccine, or you got to do this, or you got to do that. All those requirements. If you refuse to do those things, then they moved you to an isolation camp. Now you can go back and you deed your house, by the way. The great reset, you deed your house, but if you don't do those things, you're going to deed your house while you move to the isolation camp. Then you can get back out of the isolation camp if you take the shot or do the things, but if you take the shot, you still don't get your house back. Because you've already deeded that. Or if you won't deed your house to them, they'll put you in the camp. When you do deed it, they'll still leave you if they didn't take the shot. And if you take the shot, they'll still take your home to get you out of it. Folks, this is all going to be fixed. This great reset. All these things are going to get your property to them. They're going to own your home. And they're going to do what you want with it. And again, Dr. Zhivago's movie shows you what they're going to do with it.
Yeah, and that's something, you know, I forgot, you gotta watch that, folks. Seriously, whatever you gotta do, just watch Dr. Zhivago and let it resonate with you because this is in real life what's happening. And, goes back to those container ships too. You know, you just gotta wonder, what
is happening? But there's some more stuff here. Let's just talk about the lockouts.
Go on.
They took the businesses away from the owners, didn't they? They told the owners that they couldn't run their business anymore. Told all the people to go home. You're now incarcerated. That was self-incarceration, and you weren't even convicted of a crime. But that's what that was. And we all did it, didn't we? Interesting, isn't it? We didn't even get money to pay our bills because we weren't working. So they gave us a pittance. They gave us a little bit more unemployment insurance. But what they really did was they trimmed your life down. You trimmed your lifestyle down. That was on purpose, and we all did it. That's no different than taking, they took the property of the owner of the restaurant, the building, the manufacturer. They took that property away from them and controlled what they can do in it. They actually own, they don't own the property, but they control it. That's fascism. You all went home to live in your incarcerated, your jail sentence, your jail cell. You went home to do that because they told you to. When they tell you to do the Great Reset and you won't have to pay the mortgage, you won't realize, and they're hoping you won't, they won't realize that they're confiscating the wealth of what your home is worth and what you've paid for. They're confiscating that wealth from you. You've lost it, all of it. Folks, that's what it's about. And then, now that you've done that, you've deeded their home to them, they're going to put in the home what they want to. And if they decide 600 square feet per family, then you'll have six families living in your home, my home. And if they make 400, I'll have 10 families living in this home. And those kinds of things are possible. In Russia, they have people living, many families living in the same room. They had that. But they didn't have it for the prestige, the ones who were in the party, the ones who were running the party. They had, and the people in the party got better and better housing as they rose in the party. They got better and better opportunity. They were able to live better. They had a car. Oh, got food. They could shop at certain places. The places they could shop at were shopping centers where they got the material from, the goods from our country, Europe, and United States. They put them in these places, and they were paid enough. They could go and buy stuff in those. But the people couldn't. They didn't have the money. They didn't have enough money to buy food. They had to go in lines to get food. People would get in lines just so that they don't know what was at the end of it, but it must be something good because all these people are in the line. So I'm going to get in it too. When they got there, whatever it was you got it. You're happy with that. They got something.
Groupthink, yeah.
What's happening to us? And we're doing that. And we did follow. The government says go home and don't work and don't have an income. And we did.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Richard Proctor, Provost Institute, 2 minutes left of the show. And I'll tell you what, again, this meanwhile in real life, this is a Great Reset in action. We're seeing it now, explaining a lot of things as to what's going on. Make sure you go to provostinstitute.com, grab every book you can from provostinstitute.com and get educated, get edumacated.
Get some of these same books for your as Christmas presents.
Right on.
They need them too.
Yeah, you won't, I don't think, you know, instead of the, Chinese crap that you might buy, your, 12, 15, 18 year old, offspring, buy them a book.
And you know, you're not going to spend any more for the book than you would have spent for that stuff the Chinese crap you're going to buy.
That's right.
You really won't. It's $20. You won't.
Telling you what, I use mine just about every day, and I can tell you this, well, one of my grandsons has all of the books in his library that he's starting. So it's really good stuff. And I want to thank you for writing the books, and I want to thank you for everything you do. Dr. Richard Proctor, ProvostInstitute.com, a man of integrity. If we had more people like Dr. Proctor, Richard Proctor, we would not be in the mess we're in. And, you know, real quick, the final comment on this. It blows my mind to see people saying, you're not going to take away my guns, you're not going to take away my property, and they're arguing from behind a mask. Tell me how this is going to work out.
Right. That's exactly right. They told us to wear one, so we're doing it.
Right.
Exactly the same thing. They're also at home because they're told not to work. They're wearing a mask, they're at home, and they can't stand next to anybody because that's what the government said. Yes, we will allow that to happen.
Yeah, indeed. Except for those people who who have the fortitude and are warriors for the truth. And I appreciate you being one, folks. That'll do it for us tonight. HagmanReport.com and Richard Proctor, ProvisInstitute.com. Make sure you get his books. Make sure you sign up for his Patreon and make sure that you listen to his podcast every week. You can't beat that. Tomorrow, Dr. Jane Ruby. Oh, you're going to love this. Dr. Jane Ruby, tomorrow. Richard Proctor, thank you so very much. May God bless. Remember, pray for Steve Quayle, who's on the mend. Pray for Russ Dizdar and his wife, please. May God bless. Have a good night.